The date was November of 1985, as far as I could tell. And the place was the Peanuts comic strip. I want you to take a look at this one this morning. We've got Snoopy. He's looking at his bowl. And as he's looking at his bowl of dog food, he comments, "How about that? Everyone is eating turkey today. And just because I'm a dog, I get dog food." And then, as he walks back to his doghouse, he says, "Of course, it might have been worse. I could have been born a turkey." Now, honestly, it's a great joke. It's Thanksgiving. It's all of that. But I look at this and I see that there is very little joy in Snoopy's thankfulness. For his thankfulness was based upon a comparison. His thankfulness was based upon the fact that he was better off than a turkey. There lies a small lesson in that when we're down in the dumps and we're full of complaints, because life isn't fair. We should recognize that there are so many others far worse than we are. Yeah, we can do that, but that's a horrible way to live your life. That's not really, it should never be, "Whew, I am so thankful I am not so-and-so." That's not a great thankfulness. Or, "I'm so thankful I don't have to live like that." That's not a really good basis for being thankful. On Wednesday, I was getting a haircut. And sitting next to me in the chair was a young man of maybe 5 years of age. He was also getting his hair cut. And he was sitting nicely, and when he was all done, he was given a sucker. And his mother prompted him, "Now what do you say?" And what did he say? "Can I have two?" As a parent, we want our children to be respectful and to use good manners, which is why we teach them to say these wonderful words, "Thank you." And, well, we'll just say the rest of that story is, as you can imagine, "That's not what you say. What do you say?" Say, "Thank you." It's one of these things, we attempt to produce proper manners in our children, and we actually overlook the thankfulness in the words "thank you." Do we bring our children to a place where thankfulness is more than a polite, but a recognizable part of their personal or of their personhood? Is thankfulness a recognizable part of who we truly are? Are you a person who is actually thankful? Or are you just the polite "thanks"? Thankfulness is so much more than a comparison of our own situation to someone else's. Thankfulness is so much more than having enough food to eat, a nice warm home to live in, a good health or financial security, because each of these circumstances can be taken away from us in an instant. I think we've recently learned this with our health. Our health can be there and suddenly, wham, it's gone. That horrible word, which I'm not going to speak. This virus showed up. Oh, our freedom to come and worship, gone. Sorry, the government says you can't meet anymore. Oh, what about all of the other things? Finances, those are easily lost, aren't they? They're gone. I'm broke. If my thankfulness is dependent upon these things, I mean, I cooked a wonderful turkey dinner yesterday, and my family came and ate, and they all took leftovers home, and now it's gone. Does that mean I can't be thankful this Thanksgiving because, well, I don't have a whole lot of turkey to eat today? I hope not. Our circumstances can change just like that. Thankfulness is a state of being and a way of life. And is usually, we usually fail to live in that state of thankfulness because we take it for granted. Now, we have been talking about the gifts of the Holy, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Pardon me. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us, and all of these fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, they're so very important. They're wonderful gifts of the Spirit to each of us. But there is one more thing that I feel needs to be added to this list. And I want to jump over to the book of Colossians briefly to find it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. And in that chapter, it says this, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, I am fully aware that this is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit. It definitely is something that we as believers need from the Spirit. Now, I wanted to call this the turkey of Thanksgiving. However, it would get too mixed up with Thanksgiving turkey. So I just couldn't do that. And, well, turkey is just not a fruit. So that doesn't work either. So today I'm going to call it the tangerine of thankfulness. To continue on with our fruits of the Spirit. The tangerine of thankfulness. Now, I just saw Chris look at this picture of a tangerine. She's like, what is that? It looks like a mandarin orange. A tangerine was originally from the area of Africa near the city of Tangiers, Morocco. It has similar qualities to that of a mandarin orange. So you're right, it looks like one. Mixed with a bit of pomelo, if you know what a pomelo is. It's a larger fruit of citrus variety. And even a bit of grapefruit mixed in there. It has this slightly stronger citrus flavor than that of an orange, as well as generally being a bit sweeter. And thankfulness is a quality of strength and sweetness. See, the Hebrew word that is often used and translated as thankfulness or thanks, it carries the idea of an expression of gratitude or a sweet aroma of praise and worship of God. Now, the Greek word for thanksgiving is the word that some of you may find familiar. It's the word Eucharisto. And we celebrate the Eucharist. It's the celebration of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. That's the meaning of the name of the title Eucharist. Now, we at Maranatha don't call it the Eucharist. We call it communion or the Lord's table. But that's what it's all about. It's about having that thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. Now, to maintain a fruitful spirit, filled. Is things flashing around me? Okay, we're all good. What was I saying? Maintaining. Oh my, okay. I'm going to try to ignore that. otherwise, we're going to. Wow, this is going to be fun. No, it's a bulb burning out is what it is. Maintaining a fruitful spirit-filled walk with God. That's what I'm trying to talk about. If we're going to do this, one has to be thankful. Because thankfulness is a constant theme in the entire Bible. Gratitude comes naturally to believers in response to all that God has done. A spirit of humble gratitude towards God will inevitably affect our relationship with others. The problem is that we tend to lose the concept of being thankful when we forget to pay attention to our relationship with God. In one sense, we're like world travelers who have been everywhere. We've seen everything, and we take it for granted the blessings and the beauty of all that we have seen. We have become so accustomed to our blessings that we fail to be excited. We fail to allow them to excite us and generate thankfulness, for we take them for granted. One author wrote that if the stars came out only once a year, can you imagine this? That we could only see the stars one day of the year, everybody would stay up all night and take a look at them and watch them just so that we could see them. We have seen the stars so often that we don't even bother to look at them anymore. And in like manner, we have grown accustomed to our blessings here in this country. And quite frankly, it's because we're spoiled. A few years ago, I was working at Valley View Bible Camp for a week, and I was a camp parent, and part of my roles as camp parent was to provide extra help when someone wasn't behaving, or to help out with the cabin leaders. And this one night, a young man was having a complete and utter meltdown. He was just losing it. It took a few hours, but we finally calmed him down, and it wasn't the first time this week that he had had this type of meltdown, but this one had turned violent, and so the decision was he had to go back home. He couldn't stay. It was a danger to the other campers to have him there. And so we calmed him down, and he noticed something because he actually looked up. He looked in the sky. This poor young man had spent his entire life living in the downtown area of Winnipeg, and he had never in his life noticed the stars. Yeah, he'd seen a couple of them, but if you've been out at Valley View, there isn't the light pollution that we have. And he looked up, and suddenly there are stars. So many of them. And as he was being sent home, a couple of us took him back to the city. And it was around midnight. And he sat in that car, transfixed on the sky, just amazed at all of the stars that he could see. And he asked, as we entered into the city, he said, "Where are the stars going?" Well, we all understand why the stars become dimmer. There's all the light pollution, all the things that are there, the brightness of, and the busyness of the city that drowns out the stars. And when we arrived at his home, he actually thanked us for showing him the stars. And he hoped that he could come back next time, once again, to see the stars. I think stuff like that happens to us too often. the craziness and the busyness of this world that we live in overpowers our ability to see the stars. The things that would draw us away from the sweetness of God, that cause us to forget to look up and see God for who He is. And Paul wrote, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Paul is urging us as believers to have an attitude of gratitude. This idea is not an original one to Paul. In the Gospels, we see a wonderful story with Jesus. So flip over to Luke chapter 17. And in Luke chapter 17, there's this beautiful story. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the borders between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And they went and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back and praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Luke shares with us this account of one leper. One leper who was not spoiled. And there have been many guesses as to why the other 9 didn't return to thank Jesus. But our focus is not on the 9, but on the one who did. The one who was thankful. For he provides us with some very important lessons on thankfulness. First of all, being thankful is not only expressed through prayer and public proclamation, but through your attitude in living life. And I doubt this leper had a great deal of joy in having leprosy. Leprosy, or Hansen's disease, is known from the ancient writings. They date back roughly 1600 years BC. We can find them in the writings in ancient China, in India, in Egypt, as well as the Bible. And the biblical laws had extensive regulations for those who suffered from this disease. It's a bacterial condition that was spread by touch and by breathing. And contrary to popular belief, leprosy doesn't actually eat away the flesh, but due to a loss of feeling from the damage of the nerves, people with this disease wear away their extremities because they have no feeling in them. Their faces and their fingers and their toes and stuff, they just wear them down to nubs because they don't realize it. And the horrible disfiguring caused by leprosy made it a greatly feared disease. It caused lepers to be outcasts, cut off from all healthy society. And as a result, lepers were shunned by society. They had to live outside the city. They had to shout out, "Unclean!" whenever they came into close contact with others so they could be warned to stay away. And in the first century, they believed that God gave leprosy as a punishment to those who were sinful and disobedient. Now, today, there's not many in our society that suffer from the disease of leprosy. But there are many who feel like they're a leper. Today, do you feel like you are being looked down upon, being told that you are not good enough or even found disfavor with God? I wonder how much joy and thankfulness would exist in your life. I believe this leper maintained a spirit of joy and thankfulness, which enabled him to be more fully appreciative of what Christ had done for him. He understood thankfulness. He knew what thankfulness truly was. He wasn't just the politeness that our parents teach us. Say thank you. Thank you. We have all experienced leprosy. A time where we felt separated and alone, whether it was in the death of a loved one, a loss of a job, or a dissolving of a marriage, or a dysfunction in a relationship, some sort of emotional pain. We have all had circumstances in our lives where we've lived outside the city, where we've paused and asked God, "What did I do to deserve this, God?" Do we share something else in common with the leper? Do we share his thankful attitude? This man did three things that reveal the longing of his heart for this reconciliation. First, unable to restrain his joyful praise, he began glorifying God with a loud voice. He was filled with such strong emotion. This may have been the first time in years that he was able to actually speak above a rasping whisper, since leprosy often affected the larynx. Now think about that for a moment. You have leprosy, it affects your larynx, and you're supposed to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" But this man, suddenly realizing that he is healed, what does he call out? "Praise God. Praise God!" His voice is clear. "Praise God! My skin is healed. Praise God!" Then he fell on his face at Jesus' feet in worship. And this was an affirmation of Christ's deity, since the Old Testament taught that only God was to be worshipped. And he falls down at his feet and he begins to worship Jesus. And Jesus, he looks at this man and says, "No, stop, only worship God." No. He allows it to take place because he is God. And finally, he gave thanks to Jesus. The other nine, no doubt, intended to worship God in the temple. That's my belief and hope. "Well, I'm going to the temple to see the priest to be declared clean. I'll just worship here." I hope that's what they did. But this man, however, did not worship him through religious rituals at the temple, from which God had long since withdrawn his glory. Instead, recognizing the manifestation of the divine power and the grace that he had just witnessed and experienced, he worshiped God in Christ Jesus, in the flesh, right there. This is the man. This is the Messiah. Does your life represent a spirit of thankfulness? I can think of people, and I'm sure that you can, each of you know of people who have an expression, an attitude, a spirit that radiates joy and thankfulness for life. Are you one of those people who exude thankfulness? Are you more like Snoopy? Thankfully, I'm not a turkey. Or are you someone who just, yes, I am so thankful to God. You know what? I'm really thankful for something this morning. I am thankful for the people of Maranatha. And this is why we were, at least I was told that our Ukrainian group was going to come and cover our table. They did this amazing job last year, if you remember it. And this morning I got here and I peeked into the sanctuary to see what they had done. And our table was bare. And I was like, oh. And I mentioned it to someone, who then mentioned it to someone and a couple of other people, I assume. And by the time the adult Sunday school class was done, this appeared. Praise God that we have people who, I don't even know where you found any of this stuff. We got potatoes, we got zucchinis and pumpkin, and these are, I'm assuming these are real. We don't have zucchini decorations, do we? I don't even think those things exist, but the flowers and corn and like all of this stuff, I don't know where it came from, but thank you. Thank you for doing this. Because today is Thanksgiving, a day in which we need to be reminded that it's not our circumstances, it's God. That we need, being so thankful is so much more than being thankful in our private prayers, so much more than a public proclamation. Thankfulness is so much more than being thankful is expressed through your attitude in living life and putting that thankfulness into action. And I can't help but think that the people who somehow pulled this together are people who are truly thankful. But the leper also teaches us that thankfulness completes healing. Healing means to be made whole. And while all of the 10 lepers found physical healing, I believe that only one found wholeness. Last year, I injured my foot, ironically, at Valley View Bible Camp. That's twice this week I mentioned them. I hurt my foot. I tore a tendon in my foot, and or ligament, pardon me. And it took months and months for that injury to heal physically. But I remember at one point, about 5 months after I hurt my foot, that I began to thank God that He had healed it. And it was at that point that I was made whole again, because I began to express thanksgiving to God for the healing. That was something that should have done way earlier. But I simply had not done it by thanking God. But I thank God that He forced me to slow down. I'm not a runner by any stretch of the imagination, not talking slow down physically, but to slow down in everything. To be more focused upon who He is all of the time. And when you're not walking and you're in pain and stuff like that, you need, at least I find, I need to be focused more upon God. And the more I focused upon who God was and thanked Him for causing me to slow down, It was at that moment, I believe, that I truly was made whole. Now, I'm not suggesting that we thank God for crisis and pain, but I'm suggesting that we thank God for his continued faithfulness and presence in the midst of that crisis and pain. I'm suggesting that we thank God for the strength and the growth that we see and experience during those crises. I'm suggesting that we thank God for the shower of mercy that soaks us during the crisis. See, these crisis situations don't always turn out the way we want them to. And the pain that we experience, be it physical or emotional, is very real. But we can still find healing and we can still find wholeness very real. By maintaining a spirit of thankfulness. And I believe that the leper maintained a spirit of thankfulness throughout his battle with leprosy. There's one man in the Bible who exhibits the ups and the downs of life so well. David, a man known as a man after God's own heart. And yet in his life, we see so many ups as well as so many low points. King Saul, he fell out of favor with God. And young David was anointed king. And even though he's the anointed king, for the next decade or so, he had to wait. And even at times he was on the run from Saul. And then he finally became king. And even as king, he had his ups and his downs as well. Yet in all of these situations, he not only had an attitude of thankfulness, but he put it into action. Now, in Psalm 28, I want to read, so flip there if you want, real quickly. David takes this, and he's in a bit of a crisis. He's in a tight spot. He's feeling overwhelmed by his enemies. He's crying out to God for mercy and help. And yet in the midst of this psalm of crying out for help, he makes this declaration in verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. You can read the previous verses. They're not positive. They're, my enemy is surrounding me. I'm dying. He's crying out for help. And then all of a sudden he says, I will give thanks to him. In song. He certainly maintained the spirit of thankfulness, even though the circumstances were bleak. He was crying out in desperation, pleading for God's deliverance. And his words show us that he has found wholeness. He says that God has heard the sound of his pleadings. His heart trusts in God, and that God is his saving refuge. Thankfulness is an attitude. Thankfulness is a way of life. Thankfulness enables healing to bring wholeness. Thankfulness is an action that allows us to live in dependence upon God. And when we are able to do this, we will be characterized by the gratitude that drives us into the community of God's people. You see, David's words acknowledge that to live under God's claim, to live as God intends, is to live as part of God's people. And God's people live in dependence upon God rather than upon self. As part of why we gather together each week. Yes, a relationship with God is personal. is not dependent upon the church. I understand that, but we come and we gather together because God's desire is that we live out our faith in the community. That we follow and we learn from one another. We have fellow believers to encourage one another. We live a life with a spirit of thankfulness. We realize that life is a gift from God. And in gratitude for that gift, we are driven into the community. And it is within the community of God's people that we more richly and completely experience the thankfulness and the fullness of God and life with God. I know that if we ask people on the street, Thanksgiving, what is it? Well, everybody's going to talk about food and family. If you're American, we'll throw in football as well. But food and family, but it's so much more than food and family. And I recognize that I'm about to quote George Washington, and we're Canadian, and I get it. But the first Thanksgivings were American. But George Washington made Thanksgiving an official holiday and made this declaration when he did so. He said, "It is the duty of all to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. I recommend that this day is a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by the acknowledging with grateful hearts the many favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend that all men be devoted to the service of that great and glorious God who is the author of all the good that was, is, or will be, that we may all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks." That, folks, is what Thanksgiving should be all about. It's not about turkey. It's not about this group gaining favor with this group. It's about God. That's what He said in making Thanksgiving a national holiday. We've lost so much of that. So today, let's be filled with the tangerine of thankfulness. Yeah, it would have been awesome if there was one on the table. The tangerine of thankfulness, not just during Thanksgiving, but each and every day. May we would know that being thankful is an attitude for living life. Thankfulness is a part of being made whole. Thankfulness is recognizing life as a gift from God that drives us into the community so that thankfulness exudes out of us and others would see and praise God. So today, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we not only say thank you to God, but we praise His mighty and holy name. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing this one together.